Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'll tell you, Buffalo's had a lot of trouble with these end of the half, end of the game type plays like this.
I mean, Bill, what are you telling your defense? I know, you know, they always say knock it down.
Yeah.
Easier said than done, it seems like at times. But do you blitz him so he doesn't have time to get the throw off?
Well, I mean, if you blitz him and you give up the quick out, you're in field goal range. You know, I think you got to get back there and, you know, put somebody that's big and can jump back there. This is a great job by Aaron, great job by the Jets of having the right play on, being able to go deep against this and not try to get the ball out of bounds, but just take advantage of the no pass rush and, you know, three guys in the end zone.
That's how it sounded on the Manning cast. Bill Belichick joins the Mannings for the first halves of games, and last play of the first half was that Hail Mary. Jeremy and Joe, no Joe today. He was at the game, so he's off. He'll be back tomorrow. Sal Capaccio joins us on the Wester Hotline to recap the Bills' win over the Jets. It is Buffalo Bills football Tuesday. Monday on a Tuesday, you know, whatever. Brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. As we chat with Sal on a victory Tuesday, Sal. Nice win. Crazy game, right? There's a lot to say about it, but just a wild game that featured a lot of wild stuff.
You had a little bit of everything, right? I mean, I think more than anything, because of the officiating and how, I'd say, terrible it was at times, how the referees kind of became the story and took way too much control of the game, couldn't sort things out because of all that. I think it just kind of really ramped up the wildness of the game. But on the field, too. I mean, four missed kicks, two left uprights on different sides of the field by the same kicker. The Hail Mary that's completed, as you just talked about there, they had the sound bites there. A rookie filling in and running wild and have a great night. Yeah, this game had a little bit of everything. You're right. It was pretty interesting.
Where do you want to start? You want to start with the officiating? I mean, so many penalties. It's the kind of game where there's no flow because of it. You had players afterwards talking about how Rodgers said it was not roughing the passer on A.J. Epinesa. The broadcast, Joe Buck and Troy Aikman, like, you can tell when everybody watching is getting exhausted from the flags, when, like, Joe Buck's making comments about it. So, I don't think it's one, Sal, where the coaches are going to talk about how they got to discipline their team after it. It's just chalked up as a pretty brutal game.
Yeah, I agree. Although I will say there's a lot to clean up still. Like, from the Bills side of things, they lost their composure at times, and that leads to penalties. It could lead to a penalty for something like maybe in between quarters with Deion Dawkins. It could lead to something because your technique breaks down because you're thinking about what's happening, you know, all around you instead of the play. So I do think from that standpoint, sure, illegal formations, pre-snap penalties are non-negotiable. Coaches will always say that. It's true, Jeremy. Pre-snap penalties you just can't have. And the Bills had too many of them last night. They had too many of them to start drives or early in drives. I mean, in the fourth quarter, third and fourth quarter, I should say, especially late in the third quarter, I think they had three penalties on one drive to start it, basically, and it put them so far behind. But yes, you also look and say, wait a minute, we made a great play there. A.J. Epinesa is literally just tackling Aaron Rodgers. He tackled him. That's what he did. It's a football tackle. And he gets called. Well, what are you supposed to do there? You can't be mad at A.J. Epinesa. You say, go do it again. Next time it won't be called. There's a lot that went down with the officiating. I mean, it was frustrating more than anything because I talked to players about that. I asked Rasul Douglas in the locker room after. I mean, this is just to give you an insight on like how it affects them. I said, when you see all those flags, right? Like, does it impact how you play from a down to down basis? Absolutely. He said, but coming into the game, how about this? He said, coming into the game, the Bills were aware that officiating crew threw more defensive pass interference penalties than any other officiating crew in the league. So you're already kind of aware of how you can or can't play, and then they start throwing them like that, and it really kind of takes you off of your game and what you want to do sometimes. It was brutal.
Yeah. So let's talk about the Hail Mary. We played the clip of Bill Belichick coming in. Bills fans, of course, not happy about that. And Belichick, you know, the comment there, Buffalo has trouble with these types of plays. Yes, the short play is available for a field goal if the Jets want to try and go for a quick out, But ultimately, where does it lie with you? Knock it down? Have somebody bigger back there? Personnel choices? Rush more on Rodgers? Where do you see ultimately the breakdown in something like that happening?
Well, I think a lot of times Hail Marys are a product of just making a play, right? I mean, like, you have to be able to make a better play on the back end. It doesn't matter where you line everybody up. There's only going to be a certain number of people in the end zone. You know, you don't see 11 guys in the end zone ever, so you're not going to do that. You have to make a play. I do think schematically the Bills should not have only rushed two players. But I also understand they're trying to guard against – they're not really guarding against – you don't think they're going to complete a Hail Mary. The chances are so low. The chances are a lot higher of then running a quick out, getting out of bounds, and attempting a field goal, which you don't want. So we'll take our chances with a Hail Mary. We'd rather have you try a Hail Mary than give you 5 yards and an attempt at a long field goal. So that's the philosophy there, right? But you only rush two players. That gives Aaron Rodgers, who's really good at this, obviously, by the way, who knows, he sees there's only two rushing, so he's like, okay, I'm going to stand back here. I'm going to wait for my guys to get down there. And then he throws it deep. I don't subscribe to Bill Belichick can say that all he wants. He put Rob Gronkowski back there one time, and his team got beat on a final play of the game because he couldn't tackle anybody, and he couldn't run, and he couldn't move. Like, you can think about that. You could put, what do you want to put Greg Rousseau back there? You can do that. Sure. Put somebody tall back there. I'm not saying you couldn't. Tyrell Shavers wasn't playing. Maybe MVS. MVS could be a guy you could put back there.
Keon Coleman.
Matt Collins could be a guy you put back there. Keon Coleman. I don't mind, like, going with something like that, but you know, you do have DBs, and that's what they're trained to do. I usually put it on the DBs. I put it on the people who are back there, who know better, to high point the ball, to knock it down. Alan Lazard's not some super huge guy. He's not long like DeAndre Hopkins at the Hail Mary, right? He's a little taller receiver. He's not super tall. Yeah, so I guess, Jeremy, like, schematically, I didn't like the fact they rushed two. They could have done that differently, but I understand what they're trying to guard against there. But ultimately, any Hail Mary that I see, knock the ball down, like, you, or get your hands on it. You just can't let the opponent be able to do that, and that's what happened in that situation.
Yeah, getting boxed out by Alan Lazard is,
yes,
it's not the same as, like, DeAndre Hopkins going over top of three guys to me. It's
100%.
It's Alan Lazard.
100%. So at the end of the day, I put that play more on what's happening with the players in the end zone than the schematic, you know, lining up. But I do think there's obviously something you could have done different to maybe not let that happen to get to that point schematically.
So on the defense, you know, it's funny. It's a bit of a mixed bag. They gave up a bunch of chunk plays. Like, the Jets had success. The Jets ran well. But the flip side of that is the Bills had their playmakers make great plays. That's Taron Johnson. That's Terrell Bernard. And Taylor Rapp has his finest moment, I think, as a Buffalo Bill in this game. Moments. I mean, Rapp was great in this game.
He was really, really good. And he wore the Guardian cap. I asked him afterwards about wearing the Guardian cap. You know, I think he might be the first Bills player to wear it in a game since probably Mark Kelso before it was a Guardian cap, right? I mean, like, 30 years ago, guys are making fun of Kelso with the calling him, you know, Kazoo, the great Kazoo, because of the cartoon character. Now, I can't think of one. Maybe somebody else had worn it. Did Mitch Morse maybe wear one in a game, I think, a couple of years ago? But either way, he's out there running around with it, and he said, listen, it didn't really impact him, or he didn't feel it because he had worn it all week. And because of that, he feels comfortable making those physical plays, Jeremy, which is what he had to do. A, on the pass breakup to Garrett Wilson in the end zone, and then B, towards the end of the game, a really nice play, just technically so sound on both those plays to break it up to the tight end over the middle.
I want to point out, Sal,
really good last
I want to point out how hard it is for a safety to make those plays though that hard and not get flagged in a game full of flags.
You're right about that. You're right about that. And everything's going so quick. And, you know, didn't we all look for a flag, like,
absolutely,
whether you're on the field or at home, as soon as those plays happen, like, oh, where's the flag? It didn't happen. Of course, Jets fans are booing because they want a flag, but good no calls. He never made head contact either to the receiver's head or tight end or with his own head in any way. And that's just really technically sound. Taylor Rapp also wound up the game. He was credited with 3 pass breakups, and they were all big. They were those two. And he had the one near the end zone where if he would have tracked the ball and looked up, maybe he would have saw it. I mean, it's tough to do. But, you know, he breaks up the pass at about the 5-yard line. The ball's up in the area. He has a chance to intercept it. He just couldn't find it, locate it. Those are 3 enormous plays in this game. And that helped the Bills in the red zone. The Jets went 1 of 4 in the red zone. And on top of that, he had 8 total tackles, tied for the team high with Taron Johnson. The two guys who missed time, who come back to play, Taron Johnson coming back. I mean, obviously the fantastic interception at the end of the game. But, man, he made a couple of great tackles, too, in this game. And what he did, too, when he didn't make a tackle sometimes, Jeremy, he was playing his position so soundly in the run, it allowed other people to make tackles because of how well he did his job in the hole, filling a gap and pushing something to someone else. Those plays are just so hidden that you don't see that Taron Johnson made coming up from his nickel cornerback spot. So 8 tackles for each of them, interception for Taron Johnson, 3 pass breakups for Taylor Rapp. It was really great to get them back for the Bills, obviously.
803-0550, you'll get some calls in with Sal as well as we shift gears to the offense. Mike in Syracuse has called to talk about Allen's play in this game. Hey, Mike, good morning.
Hey, good morning. Jeremy, you're talking about when Allen's rolling out, he's still looking downfield. And it just kind of dawned on me this year, how many times when it's not there, he just throws the ball away. I know he did it at least twice last night, maybe 3 times. You know, he only had 6 incompletions. The math's pretty easy. That's like 10% of his completion percentage he's giving up in a smart way to just when the receiver's not open to just try another down. And that also leads me to say, you know, get an Amari Cooper or Devontae Adams or, you know, package your second-round pick in next year and get the next Malik Nabers. You know, maybe he's matured beyond the Kyle Brandt sugar high Josh Allen, where he's actually, you know, taking what's there and living for another day. And, you know, he's got no interceptions this year. So
yeah.
I just see a little growth there.
Thanks, Mike. You know, Sal, it's not – 2 hours and 15 minutes in, had a lot of calls that have said, you know, things looked better, nice play from the offense, but could still probably use a little help on that side of the ball. And, you know, I of course,
oh, yeah,
would agree with that. It seems to me like a lot of the offense against the Jets was the run game worked well. Ray Davis had a great game. Ty Johnson had a great game. But in the passing game, it was drop back, look, move, because guys just are not getting open for him against these Jets without him making a little extra on the play. And I thought Allen played really, really great in that regard.
Yeah, so a couple things here. Let's start with Allen. Jeremy, he was, I mean, just from field level, and I'm sure you could probably sense this on TV and see it, but I saw early on, and I mentioned this on the broadcast to the guys during a break. I said, man, Josh is in so much more control of this game.
Yeah.
You know, the last 2 games, when I came on with you, I would say he wasn't in control. He wasn't calm and collected. Everything was sped up. It was frenetic. And that led to the poor incompletions against Houston, poor completion percentage against Houston and running around. Even when he was a little pressured in this game, to go back to the caller's point, which he's absolutely right, he made a calm decision. I'm going to throw it away here. He stepped up in the pocket, threw it away. He stepped up the pocket a couple times, ran. It wasn't a lot of running going on there. Just did the right thing. He was just in so much more control. He was calm and collected in this game. And I think maybe as evident as any play was the touchdown pass to Mac Hollins. I mean, it's third down. They need a play. He's standing tall in the pocket. He sees it. He waits. He just steps up slightly and just throws a really nice ball to Mac Hollins. I mean, that was just a really nice play by Josh. And I think it was just an example of how he was so much more calm and in control of this game. And that's right. Throwing the ball away, being smart, no doubt about it. Sacked twice. Again, knock on wood. Still no interceptions for Josh Allen through 6 games, which is awesome. But to your larger point, too, I wrote about this arrow up, arrow down. One of my arrow downs is, yes, it was better, but you still need more production from the wide receivers. They were targeted 12 times, 9 catches. Wide receivers total, 9 catches. Okay, let's look a little more into that. No wide receiver had more than 3 catches on the night. That was Curtis Samuel and Keon Coleman. Both had 3 catches. That was it. I think you still have to get more from that group going forward.
Yeah. Samuel got down the field, got to see that a little bit. And Mac Hollins, Sal, I thought Mac Hollins actually had a nice game here. And the touchdown catch, that's one thing. He bothered DJ Reed the whole night. Like, that guy took a bunch of penalties, and, you know, he's frustrated by the end of it. So I thought Mac Hollins, you know, his best game as a Bill, I mean, it's not been that long, but he was a contributor, and I understand that, you know, plenty of people will want more from that position. I am one of them, but this is a game where I'm not upset with how they played overall.
No, listen, we're going to be there's going to be a lot of things dissect about what, you know, could have been better in this game, what went wrong. And there's certainly a lot of that. I mean, the penalties we talked about. I mean, man, we can get to special teams if you want, right?
Yeah,
the kicks.
Yeah.
Like, those are going to be some things. And then, you know, but man, it is I don't get sometimes, like, just a general view from a lot of fans, not all of them, just your team's not going to be perfect. And going on the road on a Monday Night Football game against the New York Jets in a situation they're in, I mean, you got the win. And it wasn't pretty at times. It wasn't great at times. But you did enough. And they still had smart enough and good enough play throughout the game to make those plays. You're right, going back to the chunk plays. They gave up way too many of them. I'm looking over the longest plays of the game. The Bills gave up a whole bunch of 20-plus yard plays last night. Like, that's just not normal for them to give up that many plays. I'm trying to see exactly. Let me see how many they gave up. Here we go. Jets, let's see, all the way down. The Bills gave up 9 plays of 21 or more yards.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's too many.
Crazy.
That's way too many. But Jeremy, it is, I mean, that's a tough challenge to go on the road, Monday Night Football against the Jets, when a team that always gives you a lot of fits on defense. So yes, there are a lot of things to clean up. I'm not gonna sit here and paint total rainbows here and say everything's fixed and everything's right again. But man, you come out of there with a 23-20 win despite all the mistakes you made. And yes, you'd rather have that than coming home today and going, man, they played so well. How did they lose? Right? I mean, you're 4-2 and have a control of the division. That's what you want.
And it's not lost on me, as you say, like Allen in control as opposed to the previous 2 weeks. To be in control in a place where he's frequently not in control, on the road against the Jets.
Right.
That's a team that has the Bills' number for many, many years. You know, Sal, to the special teams. All right, so I guess we would ask you, wind. Is it the kind of situation where, I mean, Greg Zuerlein missed kicks too. Does that bail out Tyler Bass on some level? Is there a little bit of context that needs to be added in there? Or, I mean, my feeling is, it's not like this is the first miss. We get at least one a week, and this was two. And one of the ones that was, you know, the one that was blocked looked like it was going to miss by 50 yards. So what is the latest with Tyler Bass?
It does not bail Tyler Bass out. He's got to make those kicks. He's not making them. The Bills have a kicking problem right now. It's as simple as that. Yes, I know they have a lot of faith in him, and we all know that he could be a really good kicker. He has been. It just has been so inconsistent going back to last season and then now into this season. Officially, are we sure it was tipped, right? We had this debate even a little bit after the game with some on the broadcast crew. Like, are we sure that the extra point was tipped? I think it was. I'm not totally positive, because how do you miss that badly if it wasn't tipped, right? That said, it was windy. It did play a factor in the kicking game. I stood down on the field for a very long time watching pregame warmups. And what's really interesting is both kickers were missing in that direction, meaning from the Bills sideline towards the Jets sideline. So to the left, if you're watching on your screen, going to the where Tyler Bass missed the first one, and, you know, so I guess, you know, going right to left that way, or going left to right going the other way. Anyway, it was, the wind was blowing that way. So you have that hook after, I guess, it was tipped. I think it was. Officially, though, Jeremy, I'm looking. Even on the game log here, they did not credit it with a tip, but I think it was tipped. It just says it was no good wide left. It does not say it was blocked. A lot of times it'll say it on the official game book. Anyway, it was windy. It doesn't matter. It was not New England Patriots in Buffalo Monday night 3 years ago wind, right? It was windy, but not windy enough to overcome that. You have to be able to make it. But Greg Zuerlein, he had trouble as well. And he hit two uprights, one on each side of the field, the same left upright. But by the way, what are the chances of that? The guy hitting the same upright on opposite sides of the field in the same game. The Bills have to figure out what's going on here with Tyler Bass, do something, because it didn't cost him a game last night. It could have. The Jets are thinking the same thing, right? Yep. But the Bills left 4 points on the board. The Jets left 6 points on the board. But those 4 points were really, really big as the game went on.
Yeah. Let's get the injury report, Sal. We've got to check in on what happened with the injury report brought to you by the Barnes Firm. The Barnes injury report brought to you by the Barnes Firm. Car crash for help, call 1-800-8-MILLION. How'd the Bills come out of this game from an injury standpoint?
Jeremy, I don't recall.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Any report I got that any Bills player was officially being evaluated for anything? I do not recall one player going into the medical tent last night. So really, the injuries for the Bills are more focused on the guys who were already banged up coming into the game. Taron Johnson obviously made the great play. I asked him afterwards, how'd you come out of the game physically? He said, great, no issues. And obviously he finished the game and he made the interception. Taylor Rapp, after the game, same thing, said everything went well, wore the Guardian cap. I would say Khalil Shakir, though. I just tweeted out the snap counts a little while ago this morning, if you want to check that out. Khalil Shakir, he had to be on some sort of pitch count or something. He only played 26 of a possible 69 snaps. That's 38%. And then you got James Cook, who didn't play. But unless we hear something, and usually on a Monday after game or Tuesday in this case, Sean McDermott might give a player or two that is being evaluated for an injury that came out of the game that we might not have realized, you might not have seen. I know, like, Curtis Samuel has the play early on where he doesn't come down with the ball in the end zone. It was a tough catch, and it just looked like he was fighting through something the rest of the game. Maybe he never went to the tent, but maybe that's something to monitor. But I think the Bills came out of this one pretty healthy, actually, really healthy.
Well, very good. So what's it leave you thinking about the Jets? Their first look at the Aaron Rodgers-led Jets. It might have been his best game of the year. He looked okay. Yep. And I don't think there's enough there. The Bills, when he gets pressure, it's going to be curtains for them. And I just don't think he can lift them to where they're going to want to be.
I agree. I watched and listened to some of the New York media last night on the way home, and their take was pretty much that, Jeremy, which is, hey, you had Aaron Rodgers play like his best game, and he had the ball late in the game to win it for the third straight week. And they didn't get it done. Think about it. Broncos, they had the ball, lost 10-9. Vikings, they had the ball, lost 23-17. Bills, they have the ball, lose 23-20. Like, these are all games that a score might win the game for them. But what happens now is, it's not their schedule. They go to the Steelers on Sunday night, then they have the Patriots, they have the Texans, the Cardinals. Later on, they get the Seahawks, the Dolphins with Tua back. It's not a super difficult schedule. It's also not like what we thought it was early in the season going into the year. Now, these teams have changed, right? Because Denver is better than we thought. Maybe Minnesota is certainly better than we thought. I thought early in the year, the Jets, that was their opportunity to jump on, you know, and be a part of this division race. This is a longer-term issue for me with the Jets, Jeremy. They've gone all in, and I don't blame them. That's what you do, right? You're taking a swing. They're trying to break their playoff drought. But right now, it's not looking good. 2-4, interim coach now, and when you go all in, what happens if you lose? You bust out, and I don't know. I think long-term, it might even speak more about where they could be as an organization if this thing doesn't get turned around quickly, because now suddenly they're 2.5 games out of the AFC East with the Buffalo Bills and still have to play the Bills again.
Sal Capaccio on the Western Hotline as we wrap up Bills and Jets. Next up, the Titans. Fun fact on the Titans, Sal, just looking into who they have played so far, because this was a part of the Jets, right? The Jets had a really impressive defensive resume, but their strength of opponent was not crazy. They played the Niners, the Patriots, the Titans, the Broncos, and here's Tennessee as the only team in the NFL that's given up fewer yards per game than the Jets. So it's a strong defense. You know, who have they played? It's Bears, Jets, Packers, Dolphins, Colts. But they're no pushover, Tennessee, at least not defensively. So we'll start to get ready for that. Thank you, Sal.
You got it.
Sal Capaccio on the Western Hotline, wrapping things up. To Chris Brown, when we return, more of your phone calls as well. Russ, Corey, Pat, Mike, stick with us. 803-0550. We'll get to your phone calls. It is Buffalo Bills Football Tuesday, Victory Tuesday, brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com.
Allen in the shotgun takes the snap. Three-man rush in the end zone to Mac Hollins for the touchdown. The barefoot wonder with an 8-yard touchdown reception. And the Bills are back in front.
Chris Brown's appearance on WGR is being brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. By Dunn Tire, official tire dealer of the Buffalo Bills. And by the Lockport Outdoor Store, high-impact gear for hardworking men and women.
Play clock down to 5. Here's the snap. Back to pass. Bills are on the blitz. And A.J. Epenesa has arrived in Mr. Rogers' neighborhood. It's another sack. And the punt team will come out for the Jets.
A Victory Tuesday here on WGR. You can give us a call at 803-0550. Back from Mr. Rogers' neighborhood is Chris Brown, who called the game last night. He joins us in the Westor Hotline. Chris, a good win for the Bills, and I just keep saying to everybody, in a game that had everything. I mean, this game was nuts. It's a good one to get out with a win.
Yeah, a little exhausting. Holy cow. I mean, the refs completely hijacked the game, and we can get into that in a minute. But look, this is a game where the Bills had to get right. And look, they didn't get right in all areas, but the most important thing was they got the victory. And I think Sean McDermott nailed it when he addressed the media after the game. This game was won and lost in the red zone.
Yep.
At the end of the night, the Bills are 3-for-4, and the Jets are 1-for-4. And in a field goal game with a total of 4 missed kicks all the way around, it was the difference.
Yeah, and in the red zone, let's start with the Bills' red zone defense. I mean, Taylor Rapp makes a great tackle on Breece Hall. They keep them out of the end zone on that drive. He makes a breakup in the end zone. Like, what the Bills' defense did in this game, they got hit for some chunk plays throughout, but whether you want to call that bend but don't break, they came up with big plays when they needed a big play.
Yeah, and look, people might knock it. Hey, they're giving up big plays, but if you lock it down in the red zone, you're going to win football games. I mean, the dynasty of the New England Patriots made a living doing that defensively. I mean, they give up yards all the way down the field. You got them in the red zone, and they're making you kick field goals or they're taking the ball away. You know, Bill Belichick's defensive career is, like, built on that in New England. So I'm not going to knock it. And Taylor Rapp, I think, had his best game in a Buffalo Bills uniform last night. I mean, you mentioned it, the touchdown-saving tackle on Breece Hall when he runs down the sideline and tackles him out of bounds inside the 5. And the Bills end up forcing a field goal there. The defense stands tall, and they did it again later. And again, it's Taylor Rapp on the next possession, separating Garrett Wilson from the football. He also had another play later after that where he separated, I want to say, Tyler Conklin from the football on a deep shot over the middle in the 4th quarter. So best game in a Bills uniform by Taylor Rapp by far. And Taron Johnson was phenomenal. My God, welcome back, Taron Johnson. It's a different. It makes a difference when you have an All-Pro in the lineup.
Yeah.
You know, you look at the game. At the end of the game, those two guys are your two leading tacklers. They were huge.
And I wonder if Terrell Bernard has future All-Pro on his resume now.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's trending that way, right? Certainly a Pro Bowl nod. He you know, Coach McDermott said it after the game, you know, he referenced the leadership of Josh and how he was very much in command, and we can get into that too, but he quickly, in the same breath, mentioned how Terrell Bernard was a settling influence for the defense. I mean, he just gets people lined up. He's so instinctive. So, you know, you look at the leaders that they chose on both sides of the ball, and yes, they're great individual players in their own right, but he makes a difference in how this defense functions and operates.
You mentioned Josh in control. Sal and I just got to that last segment, and one of the things about it that's nice to see is it's an opponent and a place where he is frequently not in control. And after 2 down games for this offense, it felt like Allen really settled them in. The way you're talking about, you know, the leadership of Allen and Bernard, he settled them in, and he created an awful lot. A lot of their passing offense when they needed it was Allen creating secondarily off of play calls.
yes, you're 100% right on that. And maybe it was easy for us to juxtapose week one last year to this game because it's in the same place. It's on Monday night again, you know, against the division rival. But there was just something about his cool, calm, and collected nature early in that game when emotions were clearly high and the Bills were setting a physical tone in the run game. And he was just the guy kind of running the show. And there was no frenetic nature to his game, which I think we saw on a few occasions the last two games. Just this sped up internal clock, a frenetic, you know, nature to his play, eyes darting left and right. There was none of that last night. And to see him kind of settle back in and be a veteran leader of an offense was encouraging. But to your point, you're right. I mean, I don't know whether to be excited about the fact that Josh is back to his, you know, off-script playmaking ways or troubled by the fact that that was the only way they could manufacture chunk plays last night with the exception of Ray Davis running the ball.
Yeah, Ray Davis running the ball, that first possession, have to think the Bills loved setting the tone. And, you know, for anyone that pays attention to these two teams, I mean, Deion Dawkins, who is, you know, great in the community, one of the nicest guys on earth, hates the Jets. And maybe Spencer Brown does too. I feel like the offensive line would have been very happy with how they opened the game.
Yes. It was clear that they wanted to set a physical tone in the game. And you want your offensive line playing with an edge. But there's a line that you don't want to cross because that's when it becomes counterproductive. And I think once they got ahead on the Jets, and look, the Jets came back and, you know, made it a close game in the second half, but you can't step over that line because then it becomes counterproductive, and then you're no longer thinking about the game and the task at hand. You're thinking about having a clever comeback for a guy who's jaw-jacking you at the line of scrimmage. I mean, and look, I understand why Spencer Brown got upset. You know, he's getting called because Alec Anderson is a half foot off the line, and he gets called for not getting covered up, you know, during the course of the game. But he's over on the sideline yelling at the linesman when they're in the huddle calling a play. Like, there's no time for that garbage. Yeah. You just got to remember you're responsible to your 10 other teammates and all the guys on the sideline that put all the time in to try to win a football game, too. You got to be bigger than yourself and your personal feelings when you're playing a game like football.
One other thing to come out of this game, the Bills, you know, they get out with a victory in a game that was probably closer than it should have been, in part because of the Hail Mary at the end of the second half. We played Bill Belichick talking about that. What do you make of what they take away from that, if anything? I mean, it's a maybe a unique spot because there was also the ability to play for a quick throw and a field goal. And in an end-of-game scenario, you don't have one or the other. You probably just have one of those two that the team is going for. End of half, the Jets check to the Hail Mary, and the Bills give up an embarrassing touchdown to Alan Lazard.
Yeah, I think it's just called overthinking it, right? Like, you're thinking, okay, they're going for the field goal here. And look, it's easy to say they should have done the other thing after the fact, but when you're playing a veteran quarterback like that, I think you have to play against the worst case scenario. So, you know, you drop everybody deep. You don't have only two pass rushers and you don't have Greg Rousseau and AJ Epenesa guarding the first down markers at the sideline in an effort to keep some kind of receiver in bounds. I mean, they weren't even looking at the quarterback at the start of the play. They were kind of like face guarding the first down markers. It was, you know, it was bizarre, and I understand the intent, but to me, it's just overthinking it a little bit too much.
Yeah. Up next, Tennessee. They run the ball a lot, and they play good defense. The Titans have a good defense right up there with the Jets and fewest yards allowed per game. Bills going as 8.5-point favorites, and, you know, from here, I know there are no gimmies, Chris, but I feel like getting out of that game last night with a win over the Jets sets the Bills up in a nice spot to kind of settle in for the next couple of weeks, and a Sunday routine as well, not only for them, but for all of us.
Yeah, I mean, it's a short week, so, you know, there's that. And there are still guys that are trying to get healthy for this football team, James Cook among them. And let's not forget, Khalil Shakir had a reduced role last night. He did not play his full complement of snaps by any stretch. He was largely you know, a passing down, third down, red zone receiver last night, and he helped, but he's got to get healthier too. So we'll have to see. But yes, I think in the eyes of many people, the schedule looks a little more palatable, but by no means do I think it's going to be easy. They still have some stuff they have to figure out. Consistency in the passing game is still an issue, and the kicking game has to be sorted out as well.
Yeah. Thanks, Chris.
All right. Take care. Have a good day.
Chris Brown. He'll be on One Bills Live later today as we roll through a Victory Tuesday. Bills win, beat the Jets. Troy Aikman after the game, I don't know where the Jets go from here. It is kind of fun. Every time the Bills beat a division opponent, it's like, season's over. And where do the Jets go from here? 2-4. It's not early anymore. They've got work to do. Jeremy and Joe, no Joe today. He was at the game last night. He'll be back in here tomorrow. 803-0550. We have people on hold. We'll get to your calls. We're wide open the rest of the way. We'll chat with you, go around the league, all that good stuff here. Your thoughts, your takeaways, your encouraging news, your concerns, all coming up here on Buffalo Bills Victory Tuesday.
Back to pass, pocket collapsing, Allen squirts away from it, throws to the end zone, and it's caught for a touchdown! Dawson Knox with the 12-yard touchdown reception. He caught it in the end zone on his way back to Allen, who scrambled out to the left to buy time.
I mean, like, if we're talking about one person, he had a chance to stop Josh. Josh ran right around him the last play of the game. So everybody tells on themselves. I'm one of those guys that, you know, I'm going to be about what I'm talking about. I got to back up what I'm doing. Coach wants dogs. So, hey, I mean, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to run my mouth and I'm going to talk my stuff.
Deion Dawkins and his feud with the Jets continues. Got spicy. Bills win. Jets lose their third in a row. They did not. Did they get a new coach bump? Maybe. Their offense looked better than it has in a few weeks. Maybe that's Todd Downing calling the plays. It is Victory Tuesday. Jeremy and Joe. No Joe today. He was at the game. We'll get the full recap, full report on that tomorrow. You can give us a call. 803-0550. Want to talk about Davante Adams. Because I think that game is more likely to push the Jets in harder. Aaron Rodgers flat out said the last interception was Mike Williams running the wrong route. He's got a rapport with Garrett Wilson. Mike Williams, 0-for-0. If Rodgers hasn't pushed hard enough on Davante Adams, I think that's his way to do it even harder. That guy ran the wrong route. Give me Davante Adams. And they need some help. They're 2-4, back of the Bills. Wide open segment when we return. If you've been holding, we'll get right to you. Pat, Corey, you guys are the top of the list. 803-0550, give me your takeaways on the Bills win. Tennessee this week, Seattle onward. Into a season where 4-2, you know, probably a lot of you would have taken it. It's a tough start to the schedule to start the season. They're 4-2. They're on track. Jeremy and Joe on Victory Tuesday on WGR.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.